Thank you so much, Kim. Recently on YouTube, I don't know where I came across it, but I watched parents, I don't know if it's a new thing, but parents with newborn babies and that, they teach them to swim really early by just throwing them in the water. I don't know if you've seen this. And then just the natural response, the baby begins to swim. That's not my experience. Maybe it's not any of yours, but there was a young boy who wanted to learn to swim, and this is probably more the way that I learned how to swim, was the instructor was there, and the instructor would say, "Swim to me." And the little boy would be on the edge of the pool holding on, and he'd go out for 2 feet, swim, 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 and then go back and grab the edge again. Right? It was too scary. And so he'd do it over and over and over again, and then finally the instructor would call over to him, and the little boy would swim over, you know, and he'd make the length of where he was wanting to go. I think that's most people, I think, learn slowly but surely, one push at a time, until your confidence grows and you kind of figure it out and you've got it. Faith in God, I think, feels a little bit like this, doesn't it? It doesn't happen. I wish it was like a download where it was just like, boom, and you are strong and confident, and it doesn't work like that, I don't think. Sometimes our faith feels small, and this morning's scripture is a good reminder of not to lose heart, Jesus says. Right off, he says what the passage is about. Not losing heart, not giving up on prayer, but believing that God hears our prayers and answers. Our scripture in Luke 18 sees things through this lens of faith and prayer. Luke wrote his gospel to the early church, just like us today, and it was the in-between time, right? Christ had died, and he had risen, and yet we know the truth of scripture that Christ will come again. So the early church was waiting. They thought it was going to be yesterday. Jesus was going to come again. And like us, we're waiting. We can be impatient when we're waiting. Or is that just me? They expected Jesus to come soon, but years stretched into longer decades, and the delay was wearing thin. Add to this, to the early church, the weight of persecution. It was tough being occupied by Rome, and even the new Christians received some persecution from the Jewish community as well. Their faith was growing weary, and they were praying, "God, where are you? This is tough. This is tough slaying. Where are you?" The temptation to give up was ever real for them. But into that world of fatigue and frustration, Jesus tells them a parable, not to confuse them, but to encourage them. It's about the unjust judge and the persistent widow, two people at opposite ends of the social spectrum. The judge says, Jesus says, neither feared God nor cared about people. He was corrupt and selfish, unmoved by the suffering of others. Gentile judges during this time period were often called robber judges because they didn't really care. They would take a bribe at any given moment. And then there's the widow, the most vulnerable figure in the ancient world. No husband, no social standing, no financial security, no legal protection. Yet, she refuses to give up. And Jesus kind of holds her up as a model of faith. I was reading this, and I don't always look at the Greek, but I did. And the Greek word for opponent in Greek is, what is it? It's andikos, opponent. And it echoes, yes, it means like your opponent in a legal context, but it also has the connotation of a cosmic enemy, right? So in some way, the widow's struggle is more than a courtroom battle. It's a spiritual one. The widow's opponent is a spiritual enemy as well in some ways. It's striking that Jesus lifts her up as a model of faith. We're all involved in a spiritual battle, and in a world where widows were invisible, Jesus shines a spotlight on her as one to follow. The real tension in the story lies here. Even an unjust judge, Jesus says, eventually gives in to persistence. How much more will a loving God answer to those whom call out to him? It's still hard to hold on when things are going tough. There's no doubt many are fatigued, frustrated today. We've all been there when our prayers seem to bounce off the wall. Doesn't this happen? And it can be hard when the news is talking about such terrible things. There's darkness and division, family pressure, there's health issues, financial strain, global uncertainty. It's a lot to take. It can be overwhelming. From a biblical perspective, the enemy delights in this kind of discouragement. As Jesus says elsewhere, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, stealing our joy, our peace, and our confidence in God. C.S. Lewis in the Screwtape Letters gives a brilliant picture of the spiritual struggle that takes place for people. Lewis explains that the enemy seeks to do his work not through dramatic evil, but through subtle and ordinary temptations. One of the enemy's workers in the book says, "It's funny how mortals always picture us as putting things into their minds. In reality, our best work is done by keeping things out. Not by putting things into our minds, but keeping things out." The enemy in the book loves distraction. He keeps us so busy with headlines, schedules, opinions, and entertainment that we lose sight of what truly matters: communion with God and each other. And when distraction doesn't work, division often will. Lewis points out that the enemy uses resentment, criticism, and fear to pit people against each other. Another tactic. He convinces us that God is distant, that faith doesn't matter, that prayer doesn't work. He whispers that comfort is better than character, that control is safer than surrender. And the goal is simple: to shift our attention from God's loving purposes to pride, to fear and frustration. And the result is we stop praying, we stop hoping, we stop trusting. But the good news is that's not the end of the story. The widow's persistence wears down the unjust judge who grants her justice so that he can get peace and quiet. That's the good news. God is nothing like the unjust judge. We know God is not indifferent or unjust. God isn't annoyed by our prayers or continually going to the Lord. God loves us beyond measure and would do anything for us, like giving his only son. He loves hearing from his children, and the cross of Jesus is the ultimate proof of that love. God took onto himself all the injustice and pain of the world, and even still, while he was on the cross, Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Fully entering in to the silence that we sometimes feel too. But even there, God was at work, redeeming, renewing, and restoring the way things were meant to be. To have faith and to live with God's confidence is about God's love. And it doesn't let us go. It's working for you in the moments, even when it's quiet and you can't tell what's happening. Faith means we don't give up. We keep at it no matter what. Keep believing. Keep believing that God will bring justice and mercy in the right timing. Faith and grace are meant to be lived out in a world through persistence in prayer. And although prayer doesn't change God's mind, we can't sit there and say, "God, you know, change this, do that." It does change our attitude. It does change who we are as people in relationship to each other and to our good God. The parable teaches that our prayers don't change God's will either. Instead, they bring our minds into alignment with God's purposes. It brings the best out in us, basically, prayer. There was a boy who wanted more than anything to play in the school band, and so he came home and asked his parents if he could have a musical instrument. And his parents says, "Well, we'll think about it. We'll take some time here, and we'll think about it." And, you know, days went by, and he asked again, "Oh, we'll think about it." A few days went by again, and finally the boy's parents said, "Okay, well, we'll consider it." So the boy said, "Okay, great, I've got an opening here." So he went down to the music store, saw the trumpet, you know, was like, "This is the one, this is it." And he came home and he said, "Dad, it's $100, let's do this." His dad said, "Well, I know you're not going to leave us alone, so we better go and get that trumpet. So they did. That boy went on, he graduated from high school, he played that trumpet through high school, he went on to university and studied music, and after graduating university, he became a very distinguished music teacher. How differently would it have turned out if the man wasn't persistent, his boy wasn't persistent? If he just gave up after the first time and said, that's it, okay, they don't want to do it. But he was persistent, he kept at it. Maybe that's what Jesus is teaching us about prayer. God wants to see if we're serious, if we're willing, not reluctant, but just to see if God will bless because of prayer. For me, recently, I've changed how I pray. I often would go into my study, and I'd have a devotion, I'd read and pray, I've been having a bit of a back issue. So I thought, you know what? I can walk and pray. The walking helps the lower back. So I started walking around the neighborhood, and I'm praying, and I'm walking, and I'm just reminded the leaves are, it's beautiful, and I'm just reminded there is a God, and God's got my back. And as I pray, I'm naming people and thanking God, and in those walks, I feel a little closer, just a little bit at a time. What does this parable ask of us today? To keep praying, to pray for our families, to pray for our world, to pray for our neighborhoods and communities, to call us not to lose heart, but to dig in and just do the little things like prayer. God's not unjust. God hears and acts and cares. And one day, Jesus said, the Son of Man will come. Well, will he find faith on earth? Will he find you and I engaged in prayer, trusting, keeping hope, and acting for good for others? So whether you're praying for healing today, whether you're praying for direction or peace or for someone that you love, don't give up. Keep at it. Keep going. In due time, those prayers will be answered according to God's will. And in that persistence, in those quiet moments, when you keep coming back, you'll discover that God has been there with you all along. Like that parable, not in the Bible, but elsewhere, where the parable in the sand where there's two footprints, and it turns out that God's been carrying us all along. All praise and glory to the good God of creation, who loves you, cares for you, and longs to be in relationship. Amen.